In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In his exhortation to the Ephesians, St. Paul says the following: Brethren, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which has been created according to God in justice and in holiness of truth. This exhortation to put on the new man, who is indeed Christ, can only come about, as St. Paul reminds the Ephesians and reminds each of us, through a practice of virtue, specifically the virtue of justice and the virtue of holiness found in truth. St. Paul goes on to remind the Ephesians that as we put on the new man, as we seek to live the light of Christ, the life of Christ, this newness of life makes itself manifest in the manner in which we interact with others. No anger, no rancor, no giving in to sinfulness. Instead, seeking to do good first to God, and then also doing good for our neighbor as well. As he has so often done in his exhortations, Paul reminds us not only of the interior disposition to which all of us are called by virtue of this relationship that we share with God in Christ, but that this new relationship forged in the grace given to us by our Savior must also be manifest by the way we live our lives. It is not enough to simply say, I have put on the new man. I also must manifest this newness by clothing myself in virtue and then putting that virtue into practice in my relationship with others. Of course, our gospel, at the end of which our Lord seems to be harsh, reminding us that many are called, but few are chosen. It seems then that he has set up for us a narrow and a difficult way to enter into the eternal wedding banquet that he has prepared for us. But we know, as he tells this parable to the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, that again, it is not enough to simply dress oneself. One must indeed, having been called, must also likewise be chosen. And how do we participate in being chosen by God to take our place at the wedding banquet to which he does indeed invite everyone? We do this, brothers and sisters, again, by the manner in which we live our lives. The poor man who finds himself improperly vested at the wedding feast is caught off guard, so much so, as the gospel relates, he is speechless in response to the king. After all, these are the good and the bad, those who are perfect and those imperfect, the byways and the highways, not the original ones to whom the invitation was given. But we don't have to be caught off guard, nor do we have to be speechless in terms of finding ourselves clothed properly. Instead, our garments must be the virtues to which God calls each of us: love, compassion, charity, truth, hope, faith, humility, and the other virtues that then prescind from these. And in this way, we will find ourselves properly attired in the presence of God. We must always be mindful, however, that there will be times that we will stumble and fall. There will be times where the evil that we must guard ourselves against will at times overtake us, and that anger that we want to control might get the better of us. But our dispositions must never be one of despair or frustration by our weakness or our failure. Instead, we continue to seek to be renewed in the Spirit, to allow the Spirit to transform our minds and our hearts in order to make of ourselves more fittingly the creatures that we have become by virtue of baptism. This age in which we live, a continuation of the last century, truly is an age of hopelessness. Men and women alike have simply given up the practice of their faith. And more seriously, if we can say it in this way, they have given up the very relationship and the reality of God in their lives, while they might nebulously admit to something larger than themselves. And the grace then that may come from this being who is out there, there is such a chasm between him and us that the grace that he bestows upon us simply is not attainable. This is the lie that Satan has consistently whispered in our ears. Sadly, brothers and sisters, it is a lie that many men and women have embraced. And so they have gone about their business as if God does not exist. And they have arrayed themselves in the garments of the world, which truly are tattered clothing that simply does not arm or prepare us for the wedding feast to which we have been called. But we don't have to be like them. We can continue to marshal on, even when at times we don't fully cooperate with the grace of God, not becoming despondent or hopeless, but instead trusting that the Lord will bring in us that which indeed he has by providence in store for us. As St. John Paul II was described as the witness to hope, so too all of us must be as well, striving to remain confident that that which God promised will indeed be fulfilled in each of us. And in this way, we can clothe ourselves in those realities that will make us the creature that God has intended us to be. We will find ourselves then well prepared and well dressed for the wedding banquet to which God has indeed invited and called. And in the fullness of time, rejoice that we indeed have been found worthy and chosen by God to be in his presence for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.